Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Recently, I recorded a podcast on the value of speaking to animals softly rather than yelling at them. And now I'd like to do a podcast about a wonderful Christmas present I got. It's from an online group called storypeople.com. These are very, very short stories with funny drawings, and people either get them or they don't. There's nothing wrong with those who don't get them. It's just that their minds work differently than those who do. And I happen to be one of the people who gets them and who greatly enjoys them. The frame print that I got for Christmas contained this short story. The only thing that separates me from the animals is a lot of words. So when I'm not talking much, the gap closes really quick. Think about that. Think about the average training class and all the constant noise and blah, 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 do this, do that, here, yay, treat, treat, ooh, good dog, blah, 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 talk, 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 talk. How many of those words are about the process and the process being imposed on the animal, and how many are related to the animal, him or herself? One of the transitions many of my clients have to make is that from viewing the animal as a recipient of a training process, who is then judged based on his or her response to that process. They need to make the transition from that to learning to understand and appreciate what the behaviors they're asking the animal to do mean to the animal. So they need to make the transition from communicating an often unnatural process to the animal to communicating to the animal in a way that makes sense to that animal. I'm talking about nonverbal communication in terms of its biggest hurdle, which is for us to keep our big mouths shut. This is not easy. Ask me, old blabbermouth herself. All these podcasts are blah, 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 blah. Commentaries, blah, 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 blah. Seminars, blah, 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 blah. It's hard. It's hard to shut up. And yet, if you want to communicate with animals, I think that's the first thing you have to learn. And if you want to work with animals who have problems, and if you want to teach animals in the most effective way, learning to keep your mouth shut is a crucial first step. We need to stop. We need to look. We need to listen. The more we do that, the more we learn. Try it. Try it with your animals. Just stop, look, listen. Pay attention to what they're communicating. You know, they tend to make it quite clear when we're doing something that's not working for them, or when they're stressed, or when they're happy. That's great, isn't it? A friend sent me a link to a video clip of an equine who had been clicker trained to retrieve a toy. My friend was so ecstatic about how happy the animal was playing with the toy. But her background is in training. And my background's in ethology. I've watched both wild and domestic animals, equines included, play. And I've seen video clips of them doing it. And what you see when they play by themselves, when they find that ball or they find a squeaky toy and they discover it for themselves and they run with it and they run to each other with it and they throw it up and they retrieve it and they bring it back. It's different. They're doing it for themselves, and you can see it. You can see it in their body language. They're not doing it to please anybody. They're not doing it in response to a command. They're not doing it to get a reward or to avoid punishment. But if you don't watch them, if you haven't paid attention to animals, if you haven't been more interested in what they have to tell you than what you have to tell them, it's hard to recognize all these things. The gap between us is much larger. And when we sense that gap, then we need some way to breach it. And what better way to breach that gap than reward or punishment, depending on your personal philosophy? But if we don't perceive such a gap because we've learned how to close the gap, then everything changes. And how do we close the gap? Step one is to close the gap between our lips and to shut up, to stop, to look, and to listen.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.